Hello, this is Harry Campbell of Biofeedback Resources International, and I'm joined with my friend, Dr. Jorge Palacios. And we had been speaking recently about concussion. I'm a big football fan, American football. And so I was watching football recently, and many of you may have already seen information about the concussions and how the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins was injured with a concussion in one game, and then a few days later he was injured again, and this time, of course, it seemed to be worse. And so we talk often, and so that was one of the things that came up in our conversation. So we decided to have a discussion and talk not just about that particular injury, but concussion in general and some of the effects it has on the brain and so on. So I'm pleased to invite Dr. Palacios to begin the discussion on that.
Hello, Harry. Thank you very much. I like to say hello to everybody. Yes, we talk frequently, and this event, this recent event about the quarterback of Miami Dolphins became another element of interest in the study of the TBI effects, traumatic brain injury effects. And first of all, we have to consider that TBI is more frequent than we thought. It is not only frequent in sports, it is also frequent at work, it is frequent at home, and it is frequent at all ages. You don't have to be young, you don't have to be a child, you don't have to be old to experience a TBI. You don't have to be a football player. It would be a great mistake to say, well, I am not a quarterback, I am not playing football. The other day, I fell from the chair that I was using to look up for some things in the closet, but I don't feel very bad about it. I just get a hit in my head, but I don't think it was nothing to be worried about. No. I do believe that TBI and the main effects of TBI, which is concussion, is of the main importance. It doesn't matter how you get it, it doesn't matter where you get it, and it doesn't matter the age you get it. What it does matter is how many TBIs you have experienced in your life. It could be one, or a big one. It could be just a few small ones. And then the effects are going to be gathered together in a very big set of symptoms. You know, let's take a look about TBI. What a person with TBI, one or many, that's not the point. What a person with brain injury can see? Well, they can see that they are looking fine. They are able to smile and laugh. They can make jokes. They can go out with friends, and they can do well in school, in the job, in general, in society. But what can't be seen from TBI? There are a lot of symptoms that can be seen, and altogether are the most important elements that are the that has to be considered as symptoms from a TBI. First of all, fatigue. After that, headache. A certain type of difficulty in processing a general kind of information, any kind of information from friends, from the TV, from the movies, from the work, It doesn't matter. The difficulty in processing information, information processing, loss of memory. There are important elements of memory loss in one of the symptoms, confusion. Confusion can be immediately after the TBI, like we saw in many videos from this young quarterback, but it could be just getting there more frequent after the TBI. The difficulties in concentration, people just can't concentrate the same way they used to after the TBI. They experience a lot of sleep disturbances. They can't concentrate enough to get a proper sleep. They get a lot of difficulties with a lot of thoughts or with a lot of symptoms, physical symptoms, or they have some of the symptoms that I previously mentioned that are just present when they are trying to sleep. And they fall asleep with all these kind of disturbances, and they experience more sleep disturbances. Like, for example, sleep onset after, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes, even an hour of going to bed, and after just a few minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes of beginning the sleep cycle, they get woke up with different kind of confusions, symptoms. They are very sensitive to noise. They can stand the noise. In fact, when they are in a place when there is too much noise because there are too much cars or too much people, or they are in a place where there are many activities getting together, the noise is getting an important issue.
I just want to just mention from what you're saying there, it's mm-hmm. I've made a list of some of the things that you mentioned, and it made me think about there's a book, Conquering Concussion. With neurofeedback, and I was talking to one of the authors of it. I actually have a video when I interviewed her on my YouTube channel, but she was saying that there are this list like you were giving, similar. Mm-hmm. Some of them were the same things that you mentioned, and maybe some other ones that you hadn't gotten to yet. That people come in to mm-hmm. the practice with these different symptoms. Mm-hmm. But when they were interviewed with the intake, they were asked if they had concussion, they said, no, I didn't have mm-hmm. any concussion, but they have these unexplained symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the things that you listed there's so much variety, different mm-hmm. things. And if a person is not connecting it to the concussion, they have no idea why they all of a sudden have this problem. And then they remember, like you said, maybe they fell off of a chair or they fell down the stairs or at the store, they had a slip and fall, or they were in a car accident, or, mm-hmm. you know, or they were in a fist fight and they mm-hmm. didn't think to connect that to a concussion, and they just have these mysterious symptoms. So it's very interesting that you mentioned all of those things.
Yeah, for example, there can be a person, a young person with difficulties in concentration, with big mistakes in concentration. Like, for example, open the door in the car in the wrong side, directly to the street, and trying to get out of the car. It doesn't matter if it is parked. They have to get out in the sidewalk, not in the middle of the street. Or, for example, trying to get it out of the car when the car is still running. And they are big mistakes in concentration, big errors in concentration that are not linked to TBI. So specialists have to dig in the history of the patient. That I remember one that we have with several attention troubles. He was not that very young. He was about 35 years old, and it is too much to be with big issues in attention. And I have to dig up in the story, and then he came one at the next session with the anecdote that the mother told him. Well, maybe your father was playing with you in the bed and he was throwing you up and you fell on the bed. You did not fell in the floor. Of course not, because he will be in intensive care or he wouldn't be alive. But he was about 6 or 8 months old. But the father was playing, very happy because he have a child, and he left him fell in the bed. That could be a major effect in a child so young, so little. And those are one of the major causes of TBIs in the very early stages of life, and are very frequent because many people doesn't see any difference after these type of experiences. And the difference are, and not only are, they continue appearing during time. So, and there are another issues that I have to mention, not only coordination motor coordination, but also there are important personality changes. These type of changes you can see in people that are grown ups, but these personality changes are not related to be one person before the TBI and another person after. But there can be only changes of personality in the same day, in the same discussion, in the same hour. You see, like shifting of personality, shifting the mood, shifting the way they are feeling about a moment. Also anxiety, in general anxiety, depression, which is another element, frequent states of dizziness. They don't know why, maybe because they ate something, drank something. They don't remember why, but they feel frequently with dizziness. And of course, many experience. I don't know if this quarterback have mentioned something, experiencing the whole symptoms of PTSD, because the experience of having all these changes make them with the physical experience of a major TBI have this effect, PTSD, with all the symptoms of PTSD. Now, many people that is looking at this recording is going to say, oh my God, maybe I have TBI and I don't know. No, they have to be all together. And we have to remember that it is the profession that sometimes not only one professional, but more, that have to decide if the person has could have had a TBI or has the symptoms that are in the suspicious of the TBI in the life, but also the studies are the last that are going to give us the last word about it. So it's important that we have to consider that many of these elements that are not seen related to TBI could be related. So if some people have experienced experience or a light event of TBI and has some of these symptoms, at least has to be in contact with many, at least in America, there are several important nets, social nets that can be found in Twitter, that can be found in Instagram, where people can have free assessment, free advisors that are ready to talk with those people that think have had a TBI with all these kind of symptoms. The main important thing here is to consider that we do not have to wait until one of these symptoms or all the symptoms together are becoming a great issue in our life. As soon as we have experienced a TBI or several TBIs, we have to get for attention. We have to see an specialist. We have to ask for the help in the hotlines of, I don't know, for example, we have brain injury in New Hampshire, which is an institution that has the help available in Twitter. We have the Concussion Network that is also available in Twitter. And these networks, you don't only need to be an American or a Canadian to be in this network. You can be all over the world, and you can join this network and ask for help. If a person thinks that they have experienced all these symptoms after a slight or a big event related to TBI. So the main thing here is not to be only with the not to be only with the fear, not to be only scared about having experienced a TBI or a near TBI event, but to start thinking that there are a lot of specialists all over the world, and many of them in America, that are ready to help. Another important network is the one that is for TBI specialists that are working in TBI consequence rehabilitation. And I am referring to all the neurofeedback specialists that are working daily with these type of patients and are looking at these type of symptoms and the way and developing different types of treating strategies to get rehabilitation procedures to these effects. When it comes to big lesions that can be obtained in the sports or accidents, for example, motor vehicle accidents, or for example, in at home, doing things that are complicated, dangerous, with no help, or maybe at work in more or less the same conditions. In that case, the next thing that the person has to do, the patients, the future patient, or the relatives have to do is contact all these specialists, contact Harry Campbell at Biofeedback International Resources, to ask for help, to ask for this type of assessment, because the worst thing that can be done is to let the event in the history to be forgotten. It doesn't need to be forgotten. When you have experience, well, or you have the information, well, maybe you can see the list and see, I am expecting this, I am experiencing this or not, I am feeling in this way or not, I am with this type of issues or not. But even though in that case, even that the person is a health professional, a healthcare professional, an experienced TBI, and a mild TBI, it doesn't matter. The most important thing that has to do everybody in general is to discuss with someone, to talk to someone. Relatives, it doesn't have to be a specialist, but the relatives, I say, oh, I get a hit in my head. I don't feel bad. I don't feel any kind of disturbances, but I just wanted to know that I just feel in my head, a hit in my head. And then the relative could be aware, which is the important thing. And maybe that's the reason we are talking here today, to generate awareness of the importance of the TBI effects. Because one of the main effects, and maybe we can start talking about this in some slides that I have prepared for this talk. Let me prepare the presentation. Now it's ready. I am going to share with you all these elements that I have prepared. One of the main effects that we can find of TBI are effects in consciousness. One of the main effects is related to the different states of consciousness. Consciousness is affected. We are looking here in the slide and a figure that was obtained from the human connectome. All these different types of small or big areas that we are looking at on different colors are related to the different areas that have been found in the brain. There are about 200 of different areas in the brain with different kind of functions. And we are seeing here with a white line, the area of an important part of the brain, which is called the parietal lobe. It seems, for all that we are working in neurosciences in these days, it seems that consciousness, being conscious, even the awareness of being conscious, resides in grand part in this part of the brain that is connected to the rest of the brain in a very intensive way. This part of the brain is related to all the sensory inputs that we have in our brain. The occipital lobe, which is related to the visual functions, the somatosensory cortex, which is related to all the feelings from the inside and the outside of our body, the primary motor cortex, which is related to all the process of movement in general, the temporal lobe, which is related to many emotional processes, and of course the frontal lobe and prefrontal areas of the frontal lobe, prefrontal areas of the brain that are related to one of the most important processes that make us humans. Complicated cognitive processes and the executive control processes, like for example, playing instruments, studying, speaking, if we are talking of the left hemisphere, language comprehension, different type of languages, comprehension and expression, mathematic processing, attention in general, and also planning our life, getting our life organized in the daily mode, in the weekly mode, in the yearly mode, in the life expectancy mode that are related to this part of the brain. All the capacities to control our life, to plan our life, to direct our cognitive, emotional, sensorial experiences are related to this part of the brain, but all these functions are integrated here, seems to be integrated here And then the experience of being me, of being myself, doing this and planning to doing that, and feeling this and expecting to feel that, all these elements are here in the parietal lobe. But what happens in the TBI? Because we are seeing here just an image of the brain and the different areas. But let's take a look at what happens inside the brain. First of all, for understanding that, we have to take a look at these very important networks, attention networks in the brain. What do we mean when we mention the word networks? Well, what we mean is a huge number of neurons getting together to perform a certain task. That's a network with a specific hub that you can see signalized in this slide, a specific hub related to a specific function. Here, we can observe the main networks, the main attention networks in the brain, the dorsum and the ventrum. This is for general attention, and this is for a specific attention. And but both have important hubs in the parietal cortex, both related to the visual cortex. And let's suppose that some person has a strike in the front, in the forehead. He or she fell and gets a big trauma or a slight trauma in the forehead. What happens? Well, it happens a lot of issues that we're going to discuss. But first of all, let me show you that after talking a few moments of all these effects of TBI, there are solutions here in the slides. You are looking at one of the most sophisticated, non-invasive solutions that have been designed to brain injury rehabilitation or recovery from TBI symptoms recovery. This is a person, a young adult that is working with brain mapping and neurofeedback and a video game that is giving is being activated when both networks, when both attention networks that are related to integration of the awareness of being conscious are activated. Every time that the video game is moving and is giving points to the player, the relation of these two networks are being activated. First, the networks get activated, and then the video game shows the patient that is being activated, and the work of the patient is to be to maintain this video game active. Here and to the right, we have the same setting of the same patient with a special kind of setting, because we are looking at the cap with 32 channels, EEG channels, 32 positions according to the 1010 international technique to EEG brainwaves acquisition. So from that we came to this, and why is that? Well, from all what we have been discussing, we came to this because first of all, after the TBI, there is not only health social groups, there is not only networks, social networks that can help the people that is suffering from the consequences of the TBI, but there are also practical, non-invasive solutions like the one I am showing you with this type of QEEG biofeedback cells. Let's take a look at our elements that we were discussing before. Why we have to use this type of complex, easy to perform for the specialist that is properly trained, but complicated to understand to the regular public. Well, we have to use this type of settings because if we take a deeper look at the brain, we are going to find a set of universes, not a universe, a set of many. Here we're looking at the Schaffer Atlas. It is one of the atlases of the brain that has been developed to study the attention networks. And here in this case, we have selected these coordinates that are referring to the dorsal attention central half. And now that we have seen a way to localize these important parts, because first we saw a drawing, first we saw an scheme, but here is here is a real MRI that has superimposed an atlas just to make us easier to localize the different areas of the brain. Here we are looking at the same atlas with the another important part of the other attention network that I was talking to you before, the ventral attention network, related to saliency, which is the capacity to perform a profound and a specific attention or concentration, if you prefer to call that way, that will make people to solve many different type of troubles, so or issues in life, or get to learn many interesting things, or just to be related with many persons. So we have to study in this way dorsal attention and also ventral attention areas of the brain. That's the reason why atlas are made, because there's such amount of information in a such a small place that it has to be done by parcellations in order to study parcellation by parcellation, one by one, and see what is happening in general, in normal in health, and what is happening during the illness. Let's take a look at these two issues. To your left, you are looking what is called the connectivity fibers and the connectivity fibers alignment in the brain. Since 2013, when the tractography or the tensor diffusion technique was implemented, it was possible to generate what is called virtual connectivity fibers from the brain, which are as a great amount sets of the connectivity obtained from the tensor diffusion technique in the brain during MRI or MRI. These sets of connectivity that are hundreds of thousands allow us to understand what is happening in the brain in different type of condition. And many people says, well, there's no big problem with having a TBI because I have the skull. In fact, I have the other skull, which is represented here in this kind of light pink, and the inner skull, which is represented here in this type of mustard color, and also have the head, and of course also have the liquid, the cephalorachid liquid that is running all over my brain, protecting from the lesions. Yes, we have all that, and it is not enough. Because many years ago, neuropsychologists discovered that there is an important effect that is experienced after the brain injury, after the stroke that we receive. No, it is not a vascular stroke. It is a stroke that we receive after the strike. And it is not just a game of words. The brain receives, the head receives an important strike. And here is experiencing the brain a different kind of stroke, not a vascular one, but one of vibrations, a great amount of vibrations in an environment which is very, very soft, which is inside liquid and do not have an internal skull. There's not an skeleton inside the brain. There is just a great amount of neurons that are suspended for other type of cells, thanks to other type of cells, which are called the glia, and are getting involved in a great amount of work every time being awake or being asleep. And these type of connections are these type of network, these type of connectivity that bring us to life. As simple as that. That make us not only stay alive, but only also being conscious of being alive. And when this type of strike hits the head, all these type of vibrations are shaking the brain inside the inner skull. And the brain is bumping, is striking in many different places inside the inner skull. And after all those vibrations converge in one place specific, or many secondary places, those are the places where the lesion are getting started to be present. So that's the reason we have all many symptoms, because we can have a strike here in the forehead, or here in the back part of the head, or here in the top part of the head. We can have an strike there, and the brain is going to be vibrating inside the inner skull, and all these fibers that are real fibers, not only virtual from connectivity, from real, because it is the computational representation of the real fibers of the connectivity, fibers of the brain, are beginning to suffer. And that's the reason we are having so many troubles after TBI. We are getting confusion and difficulties in concentration because the dorsal attention, the ventral attention networks, we are unable to plan our activities. We are unable to get organized our life. We have troubles in getting cognitive activities. We are with a lot of emotional troubles of getting angry, getting in certain kind of irritation. And also we're having depression because here in the frontal part, in the frontal lobe, mainly in the left frontal lobe in this area, are the networks that are involved in the control of depression. And if they are lesioned, then they are, won't be able to control depression. And if the effects of this lesion are sustained across the time, then the inability of control depression states will grow up. So that's the reason why after TBI, one or many, we experience all that symptoms. And let's take a look to another different way of studying the brain. We, here we see the results in analyzing a neuroinformatic environment, which is called Brainstorm, from Tadel et al. I will mention the reference later. It's an important contribution, this neuroinformatic environment for the study of the brain. And here we can observe the following elements. First, the model of the head is the same model that we see before without the fibers, but we see the reconstruction of the cortex, of the cerebral cortex, from an MRI, the same MRI that we saw previously saw, it is reconstructed with a great amount, about 300,000 vertices, that represents the junction of connectivity of many neurons. And also we saw these small dots that represent the electrodes where we obtain the signals. This is called a PSD. Which is in short for power spectrum display, which is a different way to look at the brain waves. And here it's important to look that the brain waves were obtained very properly. There are no artifacts. There are no any kind of interferences in this type of recording. This is important because if we obtain a proper recording, we can explore the what we have found in this type of recordings. Well, what we can find here is that there is a concentration of power. This is a topogram display. This is a disk display that also gives us an example of the concentration of the of the power of these brain waves. And if we explore this in a different setup, we can use this type of layout, and we can see that there are big amount of potentials with a big energy in the slow wave distribution, which is a specific kind of brain wave related to the lesion, related to the injury. Here we can see that it appears to be that this brain appeared to suffer a TBI in the left side of the brain, and this lesion has a repercussion in the right side of the brain. So for that, we have to take a look, just a general look. We are not going to get here into many complications, but let's take a look at the elements that can be found getting together all these basic ways to study the brain that I had just mentioned. And I mean basic because I just discussed it in general. I am not getting into the deep of all these procedures, because our idea is to talk about the general elements of the repercussions of TBI in order to generate another kind of awareness, not the awareness of being consciousness, but the awareness of what can happen if I or someone that I care of got a TBI experience. You're looking here at two different types of graphs, of connectivity graphs. This is the representation of the connectivity fibers that this is why we are using virtual connectivity, because it can be analyzed in new informatic environments. And in these new informatic environments, we can start exploring different types of relations of the fibers inside the brain. First of all, as you can see, we can obtain a general view that is giving us a scale that has no units, but with the colors is indicating us how light or strong can a connectivity be established or is established. Here we are analyzing the relations between these two networks of attention. That's the reason why the person that experienced a TBI after that experience gets confused frequently. Because as you can see at this frequency of the brain waves, there are a light connection between the dorsal attention network and the ventral attention network. As you can see here, it seems that there is more activity in one hemisphere than in the other. Remember that we were looking at that first slide. Well, we are looking now at the brain in the bottom part to see how are the how the computer is analyzing and presenting us the results of the amount. We are only looking here at the amount of the connectivity. You know, after that, there's a lot of work to do just studying some of these fibers. But at this moment, we are looking at the amount of connectivity. And it is pretty clear that there is a bigger amount of connectivity in one hemisphere than in the other. This is after receiving the TBI. If we change our model of analyzing the recordings, we are going to look at the connectivity to another frequency, because it has been found that some kind of connectivity is found at higher frequencies. And in higher frequencies of the brain activity, of the brain waves, there can be identified strong connections between the different elements that are involved in a certain task. Here, what we found is a very small amount of higher activity in the left hemisphere. This is the left, remember, because we are looking at the brain from the bottom. And it seems that there is more activity in the right hemisphere. This is the right, because we're looking from the bottom. This is the right hemisphere, and this is the left. And they remember that we were looking at the effects of a great amount of the slow waves in the left hemisphere. Well, now we are looking why there was so small activity, because the left hemisphere was less active than the right one. That's the reason why in the global view of the brain activity, we saw slow waves. That means that the activity was gathering in the low frequency because there was not such amount of activity at all. If we start looking at higher frequencies, just to see how was the connectivity between the two hemispheres, we found interesting things that in this case are showing that there are few amounts of fibers showing strong connectivity. And there were more fibers showing slow connectivity, maybe related to background activity of the brain, but not with the higher activity that was expected to be taking place at these frequencies, which are related to awareness, for example. We have to remember that awareness is not only seen at specific frequencies in the 15 to 18 hertz range. It was found about 30 years ago with a different kind of devices that explore in a general way the activation of the brain activity. We are exploring here the activity in different levels. The algorithms of a certain type of software mainframe, which is called Brainstorm from McGill University. And it is the work of important people like Tadel, François Tadel, for example, are giving us a different type of view of the brain and the connectivity of the brain. And we can explore how the connectivity is changing after this type of experiences. So we can see here that is a very light connectivity strong connection, and it is more connectivity, the kind of background connection, connectivity. So it looks like after deletion, the strong connectivity has been lost, at least at this frequency, which has been studied to be related to high levels of concentration, high levels of performance related to peak performance. So it could be the reason why many people is experiencing these type of symptoms related to concentration, related to attention, related to the awareness in general. And exploring the connectivity to more high frequency, we found that the results show that the basic connection between the two hemispheres was still active. The difference was found between the hemispheres that could not get active in the same way. As you can see, you can observe this strong amount of fibers that have been found in the inter-hemispheric interaction, but not were found in the same way in the left hemisphere. They are still active in the right, but they are not active in the left hemisphere. Just pay attention at the time range that we are studying this process. Fortunately for this person that was studying, the connectivity at higher frequency was still active with strong links between hemispheres. Maybe that's the reason why this person could be functional after the TBI. Could be with social activities, could be with a certain kind of cognitive activities, could be with a relation between other persons. But this is sometimes something that we can found to this in these frequencies. But as you can see, there was still a lack of connectivity between the two hemispheres. There is a big difference between one hemisphere and the other after suffering from the TBI. There's a lot. First of all, studying the fibers at a high frequencies, we see an important loss of strong connectivity, and we only found background connectivity. This could be related to a certain type of not a physical but a functional disconnection between the two hemispheres after the experience. This is happening in small amounts of time. Look at the amount of time that we are measuring here. 301 millisecond. And this is because we start rastering the activity from one point to another of the recording in order to find out the moment where the connectivity could be identified more properly. So I am going to stop sharing the screen. As we can see here, there is a lot of changes that can be observed after the brain injury. Can all this type of study be used for diagnosis and treatment purposes? Yes, they can. I think that with the time and many more studies that have been are being conducted in many laboratories around the world, then there will be a moment when this type of studies can be used not only to assessment and diagnosis, but also for treatment. These all the many effects of the TBI. Could our special football player of interest that motivated this type of talk that we are holding today be experiencing these types of effects? Surely he is, and not only he, but many others that have experience in the different type of conditions and situations from TBI. You do not have to be a football, American football star to be experiencing these type of consequences. But as I told you at the beginning, you can experience these type of consequences just after a fall in the chair from just 30 centimeters from the fall, or just from getting with a bad step near the wall and getting hit against the wall because you have a sleep during the work. That's the reason why the younger people and the older people are prone to have these type of lesions, because one are beginning to know how to work and the others are beginning to forget how to work. And that's the way they get injured. But you don't have to be in the two poles of the life expectancy to experience this. This can be experienced in many ways, in many forms. So just to make a certain kind of game of words, I can say that we have to create awareness of how the awareness of being consciousness can be affected in many different ways when a person is experiencing from a TBI. And that we have to consider also that the brain do not recover as properly as it should without treatment from a small TBI. So they can get together. They can be a sum of small TBIs across the life that can be give symptoms years ago. For example, that's in a big way what happens to many football players, that they have a lot of experience, they don't feel anything, they are with the emotions of the all the seasons they are playing, they are looking for a better position in the team or in the general classification, and they are forgetting about all these experiences. And when they are old, not old, but they are not playing, they are beginning to experience the effects of all the TBIs soon together. And this is not happening only in football player, American football player. This is happening also in soccer. This is happening also in many sports. This happens also, as I say, daily life, and it happens also in work, at home, at sure. School, and in general.
Like you even mentioned with football, and you mentioned about, you know, when they stop playing, or old in sports is relative, because often maybe in their 30s they're considered old.
Yeah.
And when they stop playing, whether it's because they were injured or because they're not good enough anymore compared to the other players, the younger players coming in to replace them, they still have the rest of their life to live. And yeah. So if they have those symptoms, it can be a problem, big problem.
Yes, and that's pretty common, you know, because anytime that we talk, or I talk with about TBI and the effects of TBI, I am... remember this player just a few years ago, that was maybe 2018, this basketball player, Kevin Love. He was fighting for the ball in the near the basket, and sometimes jump behind him and hit him with the biceps. I'm not talking about regular biceps, but I am talking biceps from a man that is working in the body work all day, that has to a strong condition, that is it is not high, but enormous in the stature, and just fighting for the ball, hitting with the biceps in the back head. This player, well, they were in the air. They were playing and fighting for the ball in the air. And they go to the ground, and this player, Love, stopped he didn't move. He just stopped when he got the ground. And after that, tried to do two or three steps, start tumbling, and he fell. And he has to be out of the game, of the field, of the field, out of the game, and they run the concussion protocol. But concussion protocols have to be more complex and more easy to do, to perform, more complex. Complex not in the sense of complicated, complex in the sense of the scope that they, right, they have to cover.
I was listening to an interview where one of the football players that's retired, and now maybe because he's retired, he feels he can speak freely, more freely about it. But he was saying even with the concussion protocols, they set certain baselines, mm-hmm, of activities or tasks that they have to pass. And then so they do a certain task, physical task or cognitive task. And at baseline, they record how they did at the task. And so now if they have a suspected of having a concussion, they're in the concussion protocol, they give them the same task to do. And depending on how they perform compared to the baseline, it would determine whether or not they feel that they're okay or not. And so he said it was common that even he himself and other players would purposely do poorly on the baseline task, so that if they did get a concussion in the game and they were in the concussion protocol and asked to do that same task, if they weren't doing it well because they had concussion, it wouldn't look so bad compared to the baseline because they purposely did bad when they did the baseline task. So,
well, they need baselines from people without TBI experience so they can compare to. You know, that now that you are mentioned this, I remember a work of Robert Thatcher. He performed, he managed, I read the article some time ago, he managed to perform QEG to amateur football players. So during the field, I don't remember, I read this about, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago. We have to look at the paper. He did this work some time ago with amateur football players. And he was recording the EEG activity. Meanwhile, they were practicing or playing. And he found, analyzing the recordings, small concussions in several players during the game.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these players were in the field, were in the play, were in the line. They experienced a concussion and they get in the line again and repeat the round many times. So it looks like it doesn't need to be a big strike. It could be, right, in a small one,
right,
that can get a concussion, and a small or mild concussion. But if this is your job, to be fighting for the ball with many big guys, and everybody is physical fighting to get the ball and to get an annotation, well, then you are getting a great amount of the small, sure, concussion. And there, yes, are another, and we do not have to do, to be rough enough with American football. No. In soccer, in soccer, there is the same thing. And there's no other player involved.
They no helmet.
They are playing alone with the head and the ball, and they deviate or stop the ball with the head, and the head is receiving a huge amount of energy because the ball is up to 70 kilometers an hour of speed.
Right.
So that's too much, or maybe you are in an elegant environment, a sports environment, with a beautiful course, riding, in a show jumping, and everybody is well dressed, properly dressed, and it is the World Cup, and it's a place for ladies and gentlemen, and fans, and horses are beautiful, and the horse man is one of the best, and in the moment the horse get stopped with the obstacle, or refuse to jump and throws and gets a hit.
Right.
And that's enough. That's just enough to have a big TBI. Or what happened to this important, it is a shame, to this important Formula One driver, Michael Schumacher.
Mm.
He was skiing. In the ski, he was skiing with friends, and he moved to help the daughter of a friend, and he slipped and fell and get hit to a rock.
Mm. Wow.
And then he's in the state that he is now after, I don't know, maybe 10 years.
Wow.
So or more. And he is not in that condition because of the races.
Right. All of the danger in the races seem to avoid that, and then that happens.
And that happened, yes. In so dangerous sport, he...
Yeah. And so, you mentioned, you know, with the car accidents, there's so many accidents on the road, and many times people walk away from the accidents without broken bones or, you know, open head injuries or anything like that, but they may have those types of injuries from the head with the movement, and like you said, the brain inside making contact with the skull and so on from the whiplash type of effect. There's many times there can be injuries from those types of accidents too.
Yeah, there's a lot of type of accidents that with no necessity of hitting the head against anything hard, any surface that is hard, there is an effect of a TBI. For example, in hard turbulences in the planes, it has been found that you can be there in the plane with the seatbelt, and you experience a hard, a rush turbulence, but you do not get hit your head with anything.
Right.
But due to the turbulence, the brain gets hit inside the skull.
Right.
And that's the reason why many people, after experience rough turbulences, feel bad several days, and it is not the time schedule, and no, it is not the jet lag. It is the type of injury that the brain receives inside the skull.
Sure.
So it has to be done, not only an important work like the one that is done by the institution that I mentioned in Twitter, awareness of the TBI, but it is also a lot to be done in prevention.
Sure.
And in getting awareness of the effects of the TBI, it doesn't matter where it comes and how it comes.
Right.
Because it could have long consequences. For example, in the prisons, in the prisons with so many delinquents, violent delinquents, it would be interesting to know in a long survey how many of them receive early TBI's experiences.
Yeah.
That made them violent.
Mm-hmm.
And that violence made them criminals.
Sure.
So it is an important field, a big field that has to be, that has to continue being explored for many times. It is a great area. And of course, in related to our field, related to our neurofeedback field, fortunately, there's a lot of work that is being done and can be done more with the new systems, with the new devices, both for research and for treatment, to study and to rehabilitate TBI.
Yeah, sure. So, and yeah, I think we had a good discussion about this today, and you showed a lot of good information, and we can maybe set up a time to do some more discussion and training, basic training about how the technology can be used, because we were only able to touch on it today. To give people more awareness about it. And if there's interest, if people have interest, they can look out for information about trainings that we may do, webinars, and also in-person in-depth training that are multiple days to really learn how to use this type of technology, the neurofeedback and brain mapping technology, to be of some help to people that have these type of symptoms.
Yeah, and how they can be helped and how they can be rehabilitated and prevent to have more this type of events.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Palacios, as always. I enjoyed talking with you about this, and I always learn something more when I speak with you.
My pleasure.
Okay.
See you soon.